Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of John's Basement Podcast. We are on episode 18 as of now. Very exciting, coming even closer to my landmark 20th episode, which I still have yet to decide what I'm doing, but we'll get there eventually. How's everyone's like weeks been going? I just took two midterms this week, and I'm a little bit brain dead, but not from the sake of having taken midterms necessarily, more so because I'm underwhelmed that I've only taken two midterms, which is weird to say. I feel like last year, prior to being online, I took a lot of classes that were very like, midterm this week, study for it, and I remember I studied my ass off, and like the two I took were like, oh, these are doable, these are real. But yeah, I am very blessed. I know that's not the case for everybody. I know a few people who have been drowning, so if you are a drowning person in academia right now, my heart goes to you. What else? Oh, here's a notable thing that happened today. I woke up early. Now I know. This doesn't sound like anything monumental, but if you know me, you know that I am never awake while the clock says AM. It does not agree with me, but I, this is for my W Pub listeners, I got randomly, quote-unquote, selected again for the COVID testing. This has been my fourth COVID test. This is my first spit test, though. By far, the grossest version of this test. It's not bad. And you know what? I will be the first to say getting tested for COVID is nowhere near as bad as people say it is. Personally, I think the nose swab is fine. I did the self one last time Pace, quote unquote, randomly selected me. But the spit test, yeah, there is no way in hell that they can prepare you for how much spit you have to put into that small vial. Because they say it's 3 milliliters of spit, at least this one was. And I'm like, 3 milliliters? That doesn't look so bad. Like, the vial goes up to like 10, and that's so big. 3 milliliters of spit is so much spit. Nothing could have prepared me for that. It wasn't painful. It was just disgusting. Sitting in a once lecture hall-based looking room with your fellow classmates. Mostly freshmen and sophomores, I would imagine. And, just spitting into a tube. And the worst part is, the tube is small. It's a small tube. So you gotta make the target. This was, like, first thing in the morning they tell you, don't brush your teeth. So I'm like, I gotta wake up early. I woke up at 7:30 today. You know the last time I woke up at 7:30? High school. It's been, like, 2 years since I willingly woken up that early. I usually don't go to sleep until about an hour before that, truth be told. So, this was a monumental day for me. There was about a solid, like, half hour where I'm like, I can do this. I like the morning. I can do this. I got breakfast. And let me reiterate, I was awake early enough to have a traditional breakfast, which, again, I haven't done in quite some time. I watched a bird fly into my campus. That was fun. And yeah, then I said, I'm going to do the radio show tonight. Took a fat nap when I got back to my room. So yeah, let's start with the music. That is the longest intro tangent I think I've ever done on this show. Let's get into some tunes. The first band that I'm going to be highlighting tonight is a band that I actually found on TikTok. So shout out to TikTok, one of my favorite platforms to find new artists on. And I'm actually not joking about that. This band I actually found through their What Your Guitar Says About You series, which I actually think is hilarious, because I actually own most of the guitars that, are highlighted, so it's fun for me. I get to see what all the, what everyone thinks about me whenever when I hold my guitars. So this first track is called $5 Subtweet by a band called Pool Kids. They are based out of Florida, but it has been brought to my knowledge that some of them also live in Chicago now. So this is cool. Different reach to Florida and my first reach to Chicago. So I'm very excited for that. So here's the Chicago debut. This song, once again, is called $5 Subtweet by the band Pool Kids.
You remind me of a version of myself. It never learned. Passive aggression is your out of choice. I think you like being bad. Oh, you do. It's hold your breath. You take a sip of water, count to ten. Think of your happy place. Gotta hope you look back. If this is my happiest part, I am now. You still get to me, but I'm past that now. Tag yourself, we all know who that was about. I jump right in, but 140 characters isn't enough to say what I think. And I think we should all try to grow the fuck up.
Once again, that song was called $5 Subtweet by the band Pool Kids from Chicago and Florida. Very excited to have made their acquaintance, and I'm very thankful that they let me spin their music on the show tonight. So thank you if you're listening. Hope I get to play some other songs on the show sometime. And I'm not done talking about waking up early. I'm going back to that. I know, this is stupid. This is absolutely... just my brain producing mush that has no bearing and no substance, but I'm going to say it anyway, because God damn it, this is my platform, and I have a half hour to fill before I get into my interview. The world is so beautiful if you destroy your body clock as much as I have destroyed mine. It's true. There is a sense of wonderment that stays in the world if you absolutely decimate the way that you interact with your health. So here's a pro tip: if you want to find the beauty in the world that is secret, that you could only find when you're at your lowest terrible habit point, traditionally make sure that the earliest you go to sleep is 3 a.m. Do not go to sleep earlier than 3 a.m. Latest 6 a.m. That's okay. 6 a.m. sun's barely coming up. You're fine. You've missed it enough that you can still say that you fell asleep during, well, not during the night. You're a freak, but you've done enough. So 6 a.m. is the limit. 3 to 6, that's your window period to fall asleep. 2 o'clock, you can be on TikTok. That's fine. That's what I do. Then do that for about 5 to 6 months. Don't you dare try to fix your sleep schedule. Not even once. Don't even think about it. Then once you have destroyed all sense of reality, find yourself a reason that forces you to have to wake up during normal people hours. I say normal people hours because I'm the only one I know who is this unhealthy still. I know some of my friends were before school started back up, but now they have morning classes. I don't have morning classes, so I have enabled myself to continue these terrible habits. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to get randomly selected for a PACE COVID test. You're not actually going to be random. I think it's very not random because I've been selected every time. That's besides the point, though. Maybe it's not. Maybe you go to a different school. Maybe you have something that you have to wake up with. Let's say it's a doctor's appointment. Then wake up. Wake up early, like morning early. And I don't mean like 11 a.m. because I've done that before to cheat and say that I woke up in the morning. I mean like 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8:30. 8:30 is pushing it, though. Don't you dare wake up past 8. You're going to lose the wonderment. Then you're going to get dressed. You're going to walk outside to the beautiful streets of New York City. You're going to look at the beauty of them power washing the sidewalks that you didn't even know that they did. because you're never awake in the morning. You're going to watch children completely almost run into you as they're running to school with the somehow excitement that I never had running to school as a kid. You're going to almost crash into that one man who sees the Latino boy in his beanie and actually runs away in fear. Do I actually look that much like a cholo? I think I do. I scared the shit out of that man this morning. And then you're going to get COVID tested. You're going to go to your doctor's appointment. You're going to do whatever you got to do. You're going to get breakfast. You're going to say, wow, food hits so different when it's supposed to be eaten. I'm going to shut up now. The next artist that I'm going to be playing is, I haven't played them in a long time on this show, so I'm going to give them another bit of a spotlight. This song is a song by my good friends in the rock band Shudder from New Jersey. Shout out to Teresa Marinuzzi. She had filled in for Spitfire long before Jake was in the band at one point, which was really cool. So much love for her and her band. So be sure to check them out. This song is called Missing You by the rock band Shudder. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Bye.
Once again, that was another track for the second time on this show by the rock band Shudder. It's called Missing You. It is off their 2020 release, so you should be sure to check out the rest of it. I think I spun one of the other tracks off that album the week before it came out on that show, which was exciting. I love those guys. It is so fun. Spitfire, my band, and Shudder, that band that I just played, we have been trying to get a show together for literally like 2 years, and it's so funny. We've been always like going back and forth where it was like, okay, next week, are you free? And I'm like, oh, I'm free, but my drummer's out of town. And then I'll book a show and I'll be like, we've got room for another band on the bill. Are you guys free? And they'll be like, oh, our guitarist is out of town. So it's all these things. We always go back and forth, and we've always just never been able to pull off a show together because one of us is always busy in the band. So it's just we never have been able to get it lined up. Right before COVID came to America, we had a show booked for Spitfire and Shudder. We were supposed to play in Jersey somewhere. I forget exactly where because it didn't happen, obviously. It was in like April the show was booked for, and I was so excited. We were like, we finally have a show on the schedule for Spitfire and Shudder. And then COVID-19 came and canceled all shows. And we're still there. So hopefully someday, when inevitably the world opens back up and it goes to somewhat normal and we can play live shows again, hopefully we'll finally get that Spitfire Shudder show. But yes, that's one of my favorite stories. Please check out Shudder. I love them very much. They're a very talented group of musicians and awesome people. I'm actually going to jump straight, it'll be a little unorthodox today, because I am going to go straight into the interview segment of tonight's episode. I interviewed Pace student and Pace music group member, Isaji Rick, Isaiah. So stay tuned for that interview and enjoy. I'll play a song after the interview is over. And we're rolling. Hey everyone, welcome to the interview segment of today's episode. I'm joined with Isaji Rick, the man himself right now. That's my first question right there. So where did Isaji Rick come from? I can guess with context clues, but I'm very curious. Where did the alias come from?
Oh, well, first off, this is crazy that we're doing this through Zoom. I never even thought radio shows could be done through Zoom, which is pretty dope. But anyways, yeah, so Isaji Rick is basically, it's my real name. It's like parts, bits and pieces of my real name put together. So it's like Isaiah, I-S-A, Jimenez, J-I, Enrique, R-I-Q. So Isaji.
Oh, all right. That's, all right, word.
I didn't want to do anything whack. I wanted to be like original. I didn't want any like, you know, I don't know, typical like Lils, Youngs, whatever. Like.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I definitely don't know. I don't think there will ever be another Isaji Rick that's not directly copying you.
Yeah, exactly. Like you look that name up and you're not getting anyone else but me.
I respect that. That's why I spelled Spitfire so stupid.
Yeah, that's right. I peeped that.
So my next question's more a little bit of a vibe check kind of promo. So what kind of music do you write? What's your vibe? What do you how would you describe your sound?
That's tough because my sound changes from like time to time, I guess. So I'm always like trying new limits and trying to do different things. Like over quarantine, I made a song that was like a UK garage song.
Word. And
people don't really know what UK garage is these days. But yeah, if you look it up, it's super cool. But anyways, I mainly started off with like hip hop and like just, I guess, rap. I hate the word rap, but I guess it's rapping. But I try to like venture off into other genres as much as I can. Like my song Ugly is not
My favorite.
Yeah, it's not your typical hip-hop. Like, it's definitely not like a hip-hop song. Yeah, there's verses on it, but it's not like I didn't intend for it to be, you know, a rap or hip-hop or anything. Like, I wanted it to be what it is. And like, I don't know, I just wish there was a genre that's genreless, because that's what I would be, to be honest.
I love the bass line on Ugly. Like, that's definitely, like, there's so much funk to that. Like,
yeah.
Kinda like, it's just a deep cut.
That was all when I was working with Jack Cunningham and TJ Viola. Jack did the bass on that, TJ did, like, the keys and everything.
Oh, so was that live bass?
Yeah, that's live bass.
Oh shit. I thought that was programmed. That makes that even more impressive to me. Awesome.
Yeah, he came in, recorded it on his bass through the program and through Logic, wires or whatever. And yeah, it's performed live too. There's a live video of us performing as a whole band. So yeah, that was all live instrumentation. The trumpets were all live. That's not
Really?
programmed. Yep, that was all real instruments. Which I tend to like more than program stuff because it's just more authentic. I like recording my music very as much like with as much authenticity as I can.
I love that a lot, though. It's kind of blowing my mind a little bit because I actually have listened to that one a lot, and I really thought that was all programmed. That's so much cooler in my head knowing that that's live session instruments.
Yeah, no, everything you heard in there is a live instrument.
So that's kind of bringing me to my next question. You mentioned like UK Garage and Ugly's got all sorts of different styles. So you're very diverse with your influences. What would you say are like some of your biggest influences artist-wise?
Artist-wise, off the bat, Childish Gambino, that's
It's all.
number one for me. And if you look at his music, he never stays in the same lane, same genre. He's always pushing boundaries, always different. His album Because the Internet is my favorite album of all time. That no album can beat that for me. And of course, all his other albums are great, but again, they all sound different. Awaken My Love has
So
no hip
different,
hop at all.
yeah.
And I eventually just plan on getting to that point where I can do Awaken My Love type of music.
That's
That's
it, though.
the goal. Or one of the goals at least. But he's definitely a big influence. Tyler was a big influence in my hip hop production. Because I like the way he produced, and he gets his influence from Pharrell and Diddy and all these guys. Who else? Vampire Weekend's a big influence for me. And they're like a indie group, I guess. They're like an indie music group. But Vampire Weekend has been a huge influence in my life since I was 12. So I've always loved their music and stuff, and they're again not rappers or anything. So if you they direct you can hear the direct influence from them in my song Sledding, which is an instrumental song that I put on the Christmas album.
I remember the
But
Christmas album, classic.
yeah, and that had a lot of Vampire Weekend influence because they make a lot of December music. So that took a lot from that. But yeah, those are big threes for me right there. And then of course if we get old school, Jay-Z, Hector Lavoe from Sasa Music. I know, shout out my Puerto Ricans.
Hell yeah.
100%. So yeah, this is kind of endless. The one who helped me find my voice overall is kind of random, but people won't really think about this. But the one who helped me find my actual voice was Schoolboy Q. Cause I like the way if you listen to Schoolboy Q, he doesn't sound like his actual self. When he talks compared to when he raps. So yeah, I get a lot of influence from him. I'm always pulling up in the parking lot. But yeah, so those are some key influencers for me.
So like what do you think got you like into making music? You produce too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you I'm sure you know way more than I could even fathom knowing about like production and stuff. I'm very strictly I can play instruments live and I force myself to learn how to use Reaper. That's where my knowledge ends. So what got you into learning the whole process and starting your journey in music?
I hated everyone else's sound.
Happens.
I didn't like a lot of the things I started to hear as I grew up, and I didn't like I like it a lot of people were trying to make music and they were just doing what everyone else was doing, and I didn't like that too much. So I figured I'd do it myself and add my own twist to it as much as I could. So even when I started producing, I didn't start out doing simple drums and kits. I would find weird sounds and just kind of throw them together, just from the internet. But mainly lyric wise and stuff, how I actually started getting into music, was around fifth grade when we'd go outside and kids were having rap battles at recess. I don't know, it was top kids, and so I'd go in there and I'd try to join, but then they kind of bully me out of the group. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna go home, practice this, come back, and be all y'all. So I'd go home, write in my notebook, like a bunch of rhymes and stuff, come back, and then I'd be like 1v5, like rap battles. And I just, it was like Eminem in
an 8 Mile.
8 Mile. Like that's how I ended up becoming. So like we just had like these rap battles or whatever, and I'd be going against these guys. And I eventually became better than them and like started beating everybody. They kind of all fell out of it. I somehow continued to keep doing it, which always intrigues me, because I'm like, this could have stopped a while ago, but it's still going like 8+ years.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that's how I got into like music in general. And then production wise, like I said, I didn't like doing what everyone else did. I like creating my own sounds, which is a big reason why like Gambino and Tyler were kind of like big influences, because they didn't make music that everyone else made.
Right.
So like I was never into like the radio hits. Like you don't see me trying to like make music like Drake, you know, because I mean no disrespect, but like Drake knows how to do mainstream stuff, and I'm here trying to like kind of sway away from the mainstream but also help people enjoy my music. So like I don't know. You know,
that's an interesting take. I'm genuinely curious. What did you think of Gambino's newest album?
I loved it. I think it's a sonic masterpiece. It's beautiful, and people hate on it so much. They didn't understand it. But if you think about it, he's struggled with loving himself for so long. Absolutely. That if you listen to this song and like towards the end and everything, he's finally come to love himself and appreciate himself as a human being, which I think is such a good lesson, because like his growth from the beginning, where he started off with Camp as his first album, not first music, but first, like, because he had the first like legit album. And he's like all kind of like insecure on that album, sad boy, like whatever. Goes to skip all the mixtapes, goes to Because the Internet. He's a little still insecure, but also kind of getting cocky, and then moves on to Kawhi. And he's kind of just vibing out on Kawhi. Then Awaken My Love, he's like, I guess, getting more confident in himself. Then he drops this one, and it's like he finally finds himself. He knows who he is, and he's okay with it.
I loved how he was able to just drop that, too. Because, like, I remember, like, there was no promo. There was no press. It was just, like, I woke up one morning, and, like, it was all over my Instagram feed. Just, like,
He started off with live streams. Me and my friend Jen would, like, bounce these lives back and forth, like these links and stuff to each other. So, and she was the one who actually sent it to me. She was like, he's just like playing new music. And I was like, what do you mean? And I hopped on, and it was like, I would say it kind of ruined the album experience for me, because I heard the songs out of order, which I hate. I love listening to songs in order, but still it was like new music. And I was like, this is interesting. Then I heard like the 21 Savage verse, and I was like, what? This, like, what? First of all, shout out 21 Savage. Honestly, he's one of my like favorite, I guess, like trap rappers that came out of that 2016 XXL list. Anyways, yeah, so like I don't know, he was started off with the live streams and then dropped it, the actual album, like a week later.
Yeah, that was like the best thing from quarantine, I think. That was like what, 2 or 3 weeks into all of us being in like lockdown, and I was like, all right, new Gambino album, everyone in my house, shut the fuck up, I'm listening to music. Do not disturb me. This is my hour of solitude.
That was spring break. So on the plane ride home, I was just like had that album on loop. Had a real experience with it in the clouds.
I like that. That's a really cool analogy saying that.
Yeah.
So going more towards back to your career personally, do you have like a favorite track that you've written for any reason and why?
Finsta is, Finsta is one of my favorite songs that I've written, because my wordplay in that is so underrated. Like, I say some really funny stuff on that song and compare it, like, all my analogies are just on point for everything. So that's definitely one of my favorites. Drive is also one of my favorites, because I wrote that song when I was trying to study for the driver's test.
That's relatability. Yeah,
I couldn't like remember, like I was trying to memorize things, so I wrote that song, the original lines to the hook were like the speed limits, but then I changed it when I turned it into an actual song. So that was that has a good story. But I think more recently, I think I have a song. More of my recent stuff now is like my favorite, because I have a song coming out called Crash, which I think is gonna really put me on the map. I think that's just one of the craziest songs I've ever done. And it's about like, it's a fun song, but nobody will realize that it's about the stock market.
I'm interested.
Yeah, so like I'm subliminally talking about the stock market crashing while comparing it to like just anything, like the Matrix.
I like that. I'm interested.
But like my newer stuff is like my best stuff, because I just get very, very like deep into the writing process, I guess. And I use a lot of analogies and try to just kind of portray my life more, which I've always portrayed my life in my music, but like I'm trying to like, I guess, put my own twist on it. Because before I had help from like TJ and Jack, but now, I mean, we're still homies. Much love to them. But like, they, like I don't really work with them as much anymore. And I do things kind of like on my own terms, which I really enjoy.
So yeah. Like, when you're writing, like, what's the writing process for you? Like, where does it come from? Do you have like a process when you're writing your lyrics?
I write my best music in the shower.
Interesting.
Like things are just like Ugly came to me in the shower.
I don't think I've ever heard that one before. I'm glad I asked that question. That was a cool answer.
Yeah, I was like listening to like a James Brown song and I just thought of it. And then like I just started writing in the shower and like had all the lyrics. So in the shower is a big one. Super like randomly late at night, like 3 a.m. type beat. Like yeah, that
same way.
Yeah, like it just kind of comes to me. Or if something's happening, I'll think of like a funny line and then just like continue from there. Like I just think of like the most outrageous things I can say in a song and just start kind of formatting them. So like if you look at my notes app, I have a bunch of like hundreds of one-liners that I haven't even like elaborated on.
So I think I kind of know the answer to this. Do you consider yourself more of a lyricist?
Yeah. Sometimes like, yes. Okay. Yes. I'm more of a lyricist. I do focus on production a lot. Like production's a big, big part. So I wouldn't say I'm more of one than the other, because I try to match them equally. It's like my lyrics will match my production. Like,
good to know. It's like it all fits together perfectly.
Yeah. Like this one song I have tweaking that's also going to come out on my next project is like perfectly matched up, I'd say. But yeah, no, I love focusing on like, lyrics are super important. If you can't say a message or say something as you're making a song, or just get any point across, or just like, I don't know, you just kind of gotta, lyrics are important. That's it. Just lyrics are important. You know?
So like, do the lyrics come first when you're writing your like any new song?
It depends. Sometimes it's really wishy-washy. Like sometimes I'll write the lyrics first and I'll have like these dope bars or dope like hooks written down and like little singing tunes or whatever, like whatever I'm writing. But other times, like I'll be making the instrumental first and I'll start playing like things on the keys. I'll just start putting random things together and then I'll match up. Or like I'll just start, things will just come to me as I'm like making the, like producing. So it really just depends on like the mood and what I do at the time. You know, sometimes I'll make productions to fit lyrics, and sometimes I'll make, because I have a whole picture in mind, and sometimes I'll make, you know, I'll write lyrics like before the production or something. Like it's just all very, very at random, which is a lot of my music though, because a lot of my music is very random. Like the next 3 songs I have coming out don't sound like the next, so my catalog is just full of randomness. Hysteria sounds nothing like the last, like every song on there sounds nothing like the last. Like name one song on Hysteria that sounds like another.
No, that's cool. Like I respect that a lot too. Cause I mean, I'm very much the same way. Like I feel like sometimes I'll start with writing just the chorus. Like sometimes just the chorus pops into my head, like a complete song. And then I have to like kind of reverse dissect it and go from the beginning of that and then finish the rest of it. Sometimes it's just the instrumentation and then I'm like, all right, I have to put meaningful lyrics over this. And I totally like, I relate to that, which is interesting because it's like, I feel like
I know like your genres are all over, but I think like our music is very genre-wise, very different and distinct, but it's still, it's interesting. It's like a very similar creative process.
You can be distinct genre-wise and still have the same music process.
For sure.
Like we clearly seem to have the same type of music process, but you make more rock music.
Yeah.
And I make more like random whatever.
But we both got Gambino, so that's a cool common ground there.
We both got Gambino and we're both Puerto Rican.
That's true.
That's so we have the Latin soul in us that kind of is real far.
I think for me, the criteria of anything I release, at least as of late, is I don't care what genre it is, you just got to be able to dance to it. That's a big one for me.
I mean, yeah, I have a couple of dancey songs I'm excited to release. I have like a lot of, I call them my barbecue songs because they're songs you can hear at like a barbecue.
So, invited to the cookout.
Yeah, like a cookout or something. I talk about like fried chicken and soda and stuff and that's fun. That's just the life I've grown up with. So,
so like to kind of divert away from the music, I know you're also involved with the Pace Music Group. I saw the Pace hoodie; it reminded me. So, what do you exactly do for PMG this year?
I'm a treasurer. I'm the treasurer for the group, so I handle the budgets and requests and stuff like that. It's a little slow this year because it's all like remote, so right. We don't really have like in-person events we have to plan for like that, so now we're like focusing on just like I guess marketing and stuff, but I'm in charge of the budget stuff. I do the treasurer stuff, and I also help out with like some like A&R is really like Katrina's job, which is the vice president, and also like Christina, who's the president. But like I help out, I dip my toes in whatever I can. If they ask, like I'll be there, you know, whatever I can help with. And we kind of bounce ideas off each other. It's very like cooperative team effort. We don't just stay in one lane. We kind of like bounce around just to help each other. But my direct title is treasurer. Yeah, I handle the money.
What exactly are you majoring in? Because I remember we did have Ramos's class for management last year.
Yeah, I'm an entrepreneurship major.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I do entrepreneurship. I don't want to have a boss out of college. My goal is to have my own company. Well, I already have my own company, but I have it fully running, making, you know, good profit by the time I'm out of college so that I don't have to get a job.
Tell me about your company. I'm interested. The pitch.
It's called Eclepser, and we're basically an online publications company, magazine, like a e-zine, they call it, or e-mag. I don't know. There's a name for it. And we basically focus on up and coming artists. You're actually on my list of people to interview too. So
I'm interested.
We'll have to roll reverse at some point, and I'll talk to you more about that in another time. But we find like all these up and coming artists who have like very low following. I'm not talking like mainstream. I'm not talking like, you know, 10K followers. I mean like 1,000 followers max, like 900, 500. But like are super talented and deserve to be on the spotlight. So like there's a lot of artists out there who are insanely talented, like yourself and like just a ton of other people I know, but get zero spotlight, zero looks, anything. So our job is to do that and put you guys out there and give you guys a platform that you can kind of use to boost, or that people can look at, you know? So yeah, so we do like magazines, blogs, and stuff of that sort.
I like that a lot. That's kind of like the same goal, that the reason I started doing this show is kind of for the exact same reason. So totally hits home, and I would love to be on that. That's awesome.
Follow us at Eclepster on Instagram.
How do you spell it?
ECLEPSTER, Eclepster. Our slogan is shining light on undiscovered talent. That's our motto.
I'm definitely checking that out the second this interview is done.
Yeah, bro.
And that's going to kind of bring me to my very last question. You kind of hinted at you have a new release on the horizon. So what do you have, anything, any stories, anything you need your general fan base to hear, new fans, new things to plug?
All right. This Wednesday, October 7th. Yes, 7th. New song coming out at 12 in the morning called Bounce. October 7th, Wednesday, 12 in the morning. My song Bounce featuring Kid Trilla, Serb, and Migs is coming out. Go stream that. It's a really good song. I'm very excited for it. That's also a very fun song I wrote. I was just kind of like having fun with it, you know, talking about like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and stuff. What else? I also make a lot of references to like economics in it. I talk about like ceteris paribus, which is funny. I don't know. It was around that time I took economics. Kid Trilla does his thing on it. Sir does his thing. Migs on the hook. Anniverse does his thing. So yeah, that's October 7th. October 31st, I have the song Deja Vu coming out with a great architect. And a great architect did the album or the cover art and has an amazing feature on it. That's a great song. Super excited for that. Super fun. And then after that, I have the song Crash coming out around like early November, like around my birthday time. So that I'm super excited for that because I plan on doing a music video to that along with the song and dropping it the same day. So yeah, those are the three songs I have coming out. And then I don't know about projects. I'm kind of not struggling, but just to create a project, I really take my time and I value like how they flow. And I just haven't found something that flows recently. It'll come together. I have a ton of songs, but I just need to work on the flow of the project.
Sounds awesome, man.
It's very important. Like Hysteria took me 2-3 years to put together. Just because I really take my time and value how things come together. So yeah, that album, which has like only like what 10 songs on it, 11 songs just about, took me 2-3 years from recording to actually formatting to getting everything together. Like that was a long process. So this one, I don't know how long this will take before I release a project, but we're rolling on like the second year that I've been working on it. So yeah, that's my upcoming stuff.
Awesome. I'll be sure to check out your EMAG. Was it Eclipster you said?
Yeah, Eclipster.
I'm definitely checking it out. And thank you so much for doing this, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me, bro.
It's been a pleasure. This is once again Asaji Rick. Check him out on all his shit. You're on Spotify. I know that. You want anything else?
Apple. Literally, like anywhere you listen to music, to be honest. Anywhere you listen to music. I don't like that SoundCloud. It's kind of died out at this point. And if you post on SoundCloud, everybody's like, you're a SoundCloud rapper? And I'm like, no. Platform. Like, so I don't, yeah. But listen to me anywhere. I'm pretty sure Hysteria is on SoundCloud just because the Apple Music thing didn't work for a little bit, so I threw it up on there. But yeah, go listen to me anywhere. I'm up there. Check me on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Oh, follow my Twitter. I love tweeting. I love tweeting. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for doing this, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, dude.
See you, bro.
To reiterate, that was Asaji Rick from Pace University. His new track, Bounce, just dropped, so be sure to check that out on all streaming sites, and luckily for you, you get to listen to it right now. Solo bitch like Oha, tryna give a net like a bow tie. Walking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where's the door you could go by? They be plotting on my fall, got it with a win you don't know about. Me and Aja want it all, working each day for no clout. Don't smoke, but I get so high. Chemical, bye-bye. Get stuck there, then we see eye. Just gotta say hi when I drive by. Just you wait, I'm a voice of a force on the course, I'm a boy in 2 hours. You won't get so go behind, man, you'll see I'm so speed die. I said, sorry, little mama, I'm not trying to waste my time. Got a pocket full of pennies, but a box filled up with ice. Man, I cut off so many folds, this shit got me into surprise. Man, I'm Gucci by my lone little bitch, I'm not gonna say it twice. It's a commonality, radical. Like new ponds with those tadpoles, swimming like they bad toes and flopping like some danimals. Like Jennifer with them news, they all slipping up like Brad and Angelina. They all splitting up. My worst days been keeping up, they're sneaking up. Them snake eyes, them wake eyes, but those guys all they peep. But I'm sleep until that shorty with them great thighs. Look to me, OMG. I'm fixed up like Cerberus, Paribus. Constantly, I'm a king. Handle this, new to this, ludicrous. But I got them jokes, I'm so serious. I said, hola, lola, my wide open cobra. I ain't give you what you want, let you get closer, closer. Flipping this shit, then dipping it quick, hop in the rover, rover. Once KT up on the scene, you bet it's over, over. I'm like, 1-2, no kung fu, man, fuck you, I'ma run through. Kidding this shit so quick, I rip it and dip, just look at the roof, too. I'm fun, too, wanna run, too. I'll be banging shit like a drum, dude. Never afraid to go in, my mind is I'm winning, no, I ain't no bum.
It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce. When you see this, when you see this, it's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce. When you see it, yeah, it's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce. When you see this, when you see this, it's gon' bounce, bounce.
life's too good, I'm saving these checks. Live my life, now what's coming next? I'm two turns up, I'm taking off next. Like, hold up, man, y'all done up. Put my foot up, that's my karma. Ain't no what's up, boy, just shut up. Get your paper, keep your head up. Don't be doing something for nothing, boy, you better go get your bread up. Don't you waste none of that potential. Live your life, or I'm gonna get fed up, ayy.
Relay, relay, I don't really care what he say, she say. Pockets on rebate, so I get paid every weekday, he late. Make you in the back like replay, we play around with these flows diabolical. Don't want no problems, bro, claim it's impossible. On the rap, on the road, flow like an audible. Keep the mic on me like keepsake. No sweet dates, got your sofa set like a T-Bay. No replay, can't catch me, no freeze rate. No debate, I can't stop moving like a sea train. No refrain.
It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see this, when you see this. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see it, yeah. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see this, when you see this. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see it, yeah. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see it, when you see this. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see it, yeah. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see this, when you see this. It's gon' bounce, bounce, bounce when you see this, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once again, that track was called Bounce by the artist Asaji Rick, but it is also featuring a bunch of other artists, so shout out to Serb, who I know also goes to Pace, Migs, and Kid Trilla. Honestly, that song, it's a banger. I was playing it in my room with my roommate, Michael, who I'm sure all of you know by this point. And we were bouncing. I can absolutely attest to that. We were most certainly bouncing. I have some exciting news for my own sake, to derail and sidetrack. My track, Good Vibrations, is actually just about to hit 1,000 streams on Spotify. That's exciting. It's really funny, and it's interesting for me to look at the analytics, because I'm always checking that. Kind of addicted to it, to be honest. And it's interesting because we have a couple songs that have broken 1,000. We have two that actually broke 2,000, which is really cool. Our song Sunset Skies is like, I want to say around 2,500 right now. I think our song Growing Up is around 2,100-ish in that general vicinity. And we already have, I think, like four other songs that are over 1,000. But it's interesting because every time we release new music, it always... naturally, because people are listening to the new things, the new songs, the ones that be, they make their way up to the top 5, top 10 most played tracks, which makes sense. I'm glad that that's the case, because it means that people are listening to it. But it's interesting, because if you look at like our Spotify right now, one of the things I hate about Spotify is that when you're under 1,000 streams, it doesn't display the number of streams unless you have like access to the analytics. So it'll be like, Sunset Skies, 2,500, whatever. Darth Vader, less than 1,000. So it's interesting. It looks like all of the songs on our top five right now are under 1,000. Which makes us look like a newer band. Makes us look like we don't have any tracks over 1,000. And I'm like, wait, no, we've done this before, I swear. All of our tracks at one point were over 1,000 streams. So, if you are looking for new music, which I would assume you are, since you're listening to my show, which is dedicated to showing new music, I highly urge you and beg of you, first of all, please stream my song Good Vibrations, which is, it's literally at like 968 streams or something like that right now. It is so close to hitting that 1,000 beautiful mark, where we start to finally collect some royalties off of it. We'll make a whopping 3 cents per stream if we're lucky. Probably still not, but it's fun to dream. But yeah, stream our entire release. So we just released an EP called Papaya. I'm actually not going to play Good Vibrations tonight. I've played Good Vibrations, I think, for the past 2 or 3 weeks. And I love it. But I want to add some diversity to tonight's episode. So I'm actually going to play a different song off of that EP. I'm going to play my personal favorite, which is our track called By the Bridge. No, you know what? I double back on that. I'm going to play our song Darth Vader, because By the Bridge is absolutely one of my favorites. It is very sublimey, and Sublime is one of my favorite bands. I will publicly state that. But Darth Vader is actually a really fun story for me. That is a fun little anecdote from when I was about 15 years old, and I was in my old punk band, Fracture, back when I was... a little punk with my curly ass hair and my terrible beard that I didn't connect with the mustache quite yet. I don't know why I thought that was a look. I used to play a lot at this club called the Grand Victory in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It's not around anymore, unfortunately. The club closed a couple years ago. But shout out to Liz Red. This is just me giving a bunch of plugs because I don't think I shout out the people I know enough on the show, which is interesting because the show is entirely a shout out. but I absolutely do want to give more of a representative plug to Liz Red for sure, because she is the first booking agent, I think, that actually booked my band. Definitely up there in the earliest ones. And she got me into Punk Island way back in the day, which was really fun. So this is a fun story of a man that I met named, I don't know his name, actually. I never actually got to meet him. You'll hear it in the song. But he was wearing a Darth Vader mask, so hence the title, Darth Vader. So yeah, this song is going to be called Darth Vader to play myself out. But before I get into that, I'm going to do a little bit more talking, because I got a little bit of time. I got nowhere to be. As you're hearing this, I'll be sitting in a lonesome chair in the W Pub office, studio, I mean, pretending like I am live doing this, knowing that I'm recording this about 2 hours before my deadline. Shout out to WCOV if you're listening on there, or the Twitch stream, which is through WCOV. Really cool. It's so cool. This little podcast has really shaped up over the past couple of months. And if you're listening to this on Spotify or Quadio, shout out to you once more. Oh, I didn't do my Quadio plug this week. Wow, I didn't. This is the first week, I think, possibly in all 18 episodes where I haven't used Quadio to find an artist. But don't worry, there will be more Quadio artists that I find upcoming. I love Quadio, and I work for them. I'm actually wearing my Quadio shirt right now. I'm like a walking advertisement for that company. So check out Quadio if you're new to this spiel and this episode and my show in general. Quadio is a free college-based music platform similar to Instagram plus SoundCloud plus Spotify plus a million different things. If you're a musician and you're in college, I highly encourage you to sign up. It has its own charting system, and it is an amazing way for you to meet other people in the industry. And even if you just like music, if you're a booking agent, if you're a photographer, if you're a promoter, if you're just a musician that's looking for some session work or would like to collaborate with other people and meet new people, sign on. It is absolutely free. All you need to use is your college.edu email address, and you're in. I'm on it with my personal account, which is where I put my podcasts through, which I have to catch up on because it's been quite a while, I think, since I actually uploaded an episode. Very inconsistent there, which is totally my fault. But I also upload my music on Spitfire to Spitfire's own page on Quadio. Quadio, Q-U-A-D-I-O. It is not Quadio. Don't make that mistake. You will look like a fool like I did when I thought it was Quadio at my first meeting with them. But Quadio, I love it. I'll probably find a bunch of artists through it next week. And yeah, I'm always checking through the ranks to find new artists on there. So also, I don't say this enough. If you're a musician, send me your music. Like, I am always looking for new stuff. I don't care about genre. I am this is a very genre neutral, show. I don't care about any labels to any degree. If you write music, send it my way. jmftmedia@gmail.com. I think I have a link in my Instagram page for it. And yeah, it's that easy. Just send me an email with an MP3 or a WAV file saying, hi, I'd like to be in the next episode or whatever episode. And if you want to set an interview up, also reach out to me. I don't plan these that far in advance, so if you have content, send it my way. I probably have room for you in my schedule. And I've talked for enough time. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I am so sorry for the terrible audio on my end during the interview. I don't know what happened with my microphone. And stay safe. Wear a mask. Vote for Biden. And if you don't listen to my shows anymore. This song is called Darth Vader. Have a wonderful night, everyone. We'll be right back.
had Sharpie X's and a clunky Faro ring. And when it slipped off, I couldn't grab it because I still had to sing. On. But without my Faro ring, my finger knew something was wrong. That was when a reflection shining had caught my eye. A man dressed as Darth Vader held my ring up to the sky. Darth Vader that day changed my attitude. That was when I noticed that he disappeared. I still wish that I thanked him after all these years. I walked in crowd, but he was gone, and now I'm reminiscing, so I wrote this song. But was it really Darth Vader? No, I don't think so.